In a moment or two, the curtain will rise on a musical comedy that is one of the lightest and brightest of them all. With music by Rudolf Frimmel, libretto by Otto Harbach and Frederick Lonsdale, with additional numbers by Paul Rubens, it's the show that made a record run and became the big-time morale builder of World War Number One. High Jinks. Stalls, gallery, boxes and pit are crammed tight for tonight's gala performance. And as the ushers shepherd the late stragglers into their seats, the lights go down and the High Jinks overture begins. The applause subsides. Up goes the curtain, and we get our first glimpse of the sanatorium of Dr. Robert Thorne on the outskirts of Paris. The doctor's clientele seems to be composed exclusively of young ladies from the Folies Bergères, and even the nurses are glamorous, as only musical comedy nurses can be. At the moment, the dapper little doctor is welcoming his old friend Dick Wayne, explorer and matinee idol, who has just returned from India with a magic potion he obtained from a friendly fakir. "You look worried, Doc," says Dick. "Why don't you put a few drops of the potion on your handkerchief? One sniff and you feel fine. Two sniffs, you feel finer. Three sniffs. Here, try it, Doc. One sniff. Two sniffs. Three sniffs and... Hey, what do you call this stuff?" says the doctor. "High Jinks," says Dick, "and I'll tell you all about it.
Beyond the Himalaya mountains, where flows the great Sun Pole, beside old Tibet's laughing fountains, gay festive flowers grow. To hands of merry youth and maiden, they yield their radiant bloom, and all the balmy air is laden with rich and rare perfume. One very little drop placed so, one tiny little whiff and lo, something seems tingling, so queer here in your ear, near and near, like some strange mingling of jingling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-lingles and tangle-angle-angle-angle-angle-angles. Why? You want to cry, you want to die, but all you do is laugh. Hey, hey, you've got the high jinks, that's why.
Dick dances around the stage, flicking his perfumed handkerchief this way and that, and all present, even the nurses, get an acute attack of high jinks. But business is business, and Dr. Thorne must attend to his patients. The first one we meet is Mr. Jim Jeffries, who's in bad shape because he's worried about his missing wife and daughter. When a mere boy, he married a touring actress called Adelaide, but they drifted. He hasn't heard of her since, except for a letter announcing the birth of their little girl. Little does Jim Jeffries suspect that Adelaide and her daughter are both patients of the doctor's. And in the next scene in the doctor's waiting room, Adelaide tells a group of chorus boys the whole story of her stormy romance with Jim.
When I get thinking of Jim, handsome and strong and so trim, sure just the thought of dropped in thrills me. Sure, just the thought of him fills me full of dreams of those happy old days when in my eyes he would gaze. True love I vowed to him. I was so proud of him. My old Jim, like a soldier, tall and captivating, broad of shoulder, fine and fascinating, that was Jim. My old Jim, gay and clever, glory be, and he was ever full of blarney from Killarney Shore.
Shame of it. Adelaide lied to Jim about that daughter of hers, Sylvia. Sylvia is only an adopted child, not Jim's at all, and is now a star of the Folies Bergères, but sweet and innocent as a field of daisies. And it's only natural that she should fall in love with that long-legged leading man, Dick Wayne, and quite inevitable that the score should provide her with such a song as Love's Own Kiss.
Feelings all unknown, what can they be? Honey!
the plot thickens. Dr. Thorne has another client, Monsieur Rabelais, who is French and fierce. When he catches the doctor high-jinking with Madame Rabelais, he demands an honorable settlement. Either the doctor will permit Monsieur to kiss Mrs. Thorne, or he will fight. For a woman, the kiss. For a man, the sword. The doctor has planned a holiday in Deauville. But how to escape from the bloodthirsty Frenchman? So he enlists the help of Dick. And Dick enlists the help of Chi-Chi, a Corinne from the Folies Bergère, who supports a widowed mother and three little brothers, and likes nothing better at night than to curl up with a good book, like Forever Amber or Love Me Sailor. Just a sweet old-fashioned girl is Chi-Chi.
So my little romance has been ended.
One more volume's done.
Tis just the finish I intended.
But whatever be
I'll put it on the shelf, dear. There are other stories one might want.
You know I'm something of an authoress myself, dear.
With a grace and style because...
Ooh, la, la. So if you're really through...
I think I'm really through.
With reading foolish books that make you blue.
Chi-Chi, remember charming Chi-Chi, with fascinating ways and wiles.
A teacher to forget,
with glances and sweet seductive glances. She's quite the dearest witch a gay folk has.
For she is Chi-Chi, she's charming little Chi-Chi, with captivating gaze and smile that rob you of regret.
Doctor believing that he can only put Monsieur Rabelais off the scent by persuading Sylvia to masquerade in Deauville as his wife. His real wife he will send to Arkin instead. But unbeknown to him, Dick arranges for Chi-Chi to accompany the Doctor to Deauville, which rather confuses the audience, but ensures that all the principals will have an excuse for being in Deauville for the next scene. The stage is now ablaze with striped awnings, umbrellas, and the international cocktail set, taking the sun on the plage at Deauville. The amorous Monsieur Rabelais, believing Sylvia to be the wife of Dr. Thorne, wastes no time in courting her, in American fashion. American fashion is best, he says. Perhaps the gentleman has something
there. If you only were Parisian, my lady.
If it were true, what would you do?
There would be so many little things to aid me.
Oh, isn't that true? Let me know.
Some pretty little flowers or a poem.
Pretty flowers, I adore.
But gentlemen Americans don't grow 'em. Their faith is in the jewelry store.
Have you any more?
And if more there be, have you not a little love that you could promise me?
I would not say that I refuse you, could lose you. My plan is better, not now, maybe never. That courtship of the mystery can.
No, you wouldn't think a man a hardened sinner.
Oh, that all depends what he intends.
if he's bold enough to ask you out to dinner.
Well, not today. I'm going away.
And would you mind to tell me where you're going?
We go to Paris, that is true.
Then all my heart is simply overflowing with hope I may accompany you.
I take my mother too.
That is proper, quite. But to tell the doctor would be hardly right.
I can't answer now, but later, maybe later.
My pleading is not all in vain, but I will call again.
I would not say that I'd refuse me, would lose you.
My plan is better,
not now,
maybe later. The torch of an American.
Sylvia and Rabelais make their exit on the prompt side, and the stage is cleared for the entrance of the doctor. With his wife in Aachen, with the cares of his practice left behind him in Paris, and an engaging little baggage masquerading as Mrs. Thorne, the doctor feels young and frisky again. So frisky, he just has to sing about it.
Away with gloomy care! Away with grisly spectres like income tax collectors or conscientious objectors. And let me sing in joyous tone of love and love alone. Love at your heart comes knocking with such a soft rat-a-tat. And I implore, open the door, don't let him wait on the mat. Love like the vacuum cleaner comes in the spring sure enough. Then he will start to sweep out your heart, just out of few bits of love. Fa-la-la, fa-la-la, one or two bits of love. What is life without love? Fa-la-la, what is life without love? Tell me, please. Ah, what is pork without crackling? Ah, what is duck without peas? What a future without any hope? What's a bathroom without any soap? Oh, life's love like a pearl with a flaw. Tra-la-la, tra-la-la, tra-la-la. It's like Churchill, Mr. Churchill. It's like Churchill without a cigar. Tra-la-la.
And now at long last, Adelaide and Jim Jeffries meet. Fearing to tell her husband the truth about her adopted daughter Sylvia, she's been dodging Jim for three whole acts. But fate has caught up with her at last.
Looks like ready money. It does look like ready money.
By Jove, it's a beauty.
He's got physique and style to boot.
Mm-hmm. Certainly the honey.
He looks this way.
She's got a manner very gay.
I think I'll try a little cough.
By Jove, is that for me?
Or better still, live and love.
She acts invitingly.
I think it's time he got a look.
She's sure some widow wise.
I think I've got him on the hook.
Of invitation eyes.
Come hither, she says it with her eyes. She does not vocalize, but you can recognize just the same. Come hither, she seems to specialize in sending tireless jobs by wireless, all in her eyes.
Come hither,
come hither. despise those I am gone on you, old Dunois. Come hither, come hither, she says it with her eyes. She does not vocalize, but you can recognize just as plain. Come hither, sure any man might prize those agitating. I'll be waiting. Come hither,
things are working up now to a wild climax. Mrs. Thorne, whom the doctor believes to be well away in Aachen, arrives at Deauville to find her husband apparently living the full, free life with Sylvia. Sylvia, too, has jumped to conclusions about Dick and Chee-Chee, and it takes an awful lot of muted strings, soft lights and handholdings to pacify all parties. But Sylvia relents, Mrs. Thorne relents, everybody relents. And just to give the audience the right idea about Folies Bergère personnel and to send them home happy, Chee-Chee makes a grand entrance blowing not kisses, but bubbles. That's the signal for the stage crew to release from the wings a flock of vivid, multicolored balloons. And as the principals and chorus form up for the carnival tableau, the orchestra swirls into the gay finale.
Bye.
And so lights go up, and the audience files slowly out into the busy street with a lilt of old and well-loved melodies on their lips. Behind them, the doors quietly close for another night on the musical comedy theater.